Thank you so much for being here this morning. And my intent of being here today is to preach the gospel in such a way as to benefit, to encourage, to strengthen, and uplift as many of you as I possibly can. You'll notice that over the years it takes a little more effort to get up on the podium now than what it used to. It's been quite a while since I've been coming here. But I want this morning to, as best I can, embark on a study that I believe we can all really and truly apply in our own lives. There came a time whenever Jesus was with his disciples, and it became necessary for his disciples to understand the principle of prayer. So they would ask a question of Jesus, and they would say, "Lord, teach us to pray." And as the story goes, we all know the Lord's Prayer. Many of us could recite it by heart. And the Bible said, "But after this manner, therefore pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." Notice, if you will, the next thought in that model prayer that Jesus gave his disciples. "And lead us not into temptation." I want to say it again. "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." I want to impress upon your mind the importance of temptation. And I want to make it as clear as humanly possible this morning as we talk about the importance of leading us not into temptation, but delivering us from evil. If you will, take your Bibles and study with me. In Matthew chapter 26 and at verse 41, I believe as we investigate temptation and how it is that we ought to make it as clear as humanly possible, we need to understand something about it. We need to find a certain strength that we may or may not know that abides within us to overcome temptation. In that very verse of Scripture, he said, "Watch and pray. Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation." And he gave us the reason behind that. "Be careful," he said, "you watch out and you pray that you enter not into temptation." Now this, of course, goes hand in hand with what the Lord told these disciples in the very beginning when he taught them how to pray. "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Did you know that the word temptation means to entice, to do evil? I wonder if any of you in this room could be like myself. Be honest just for a little while and think about the fact that you, at some time or another in your life, you have either been tempted, or if you're a young person, someday you will be tempted. Of the things that are out there that will entice you to do evil, there will always be that choice that you will have to make. You will either be on the right side of God, or you will be on the wrong side of God. Whenever Jesus was talking to those men and he was giving them the inspiration to pray, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." If we use the very definition of temptation to entice us to do evil, we can all look at this thing from the perspective that at some time or another there has been some enticement. There has been some encouragement somewhere along the way to do something that wasn't just what it ought to be. In fact, it was the wrong thing to do. So I want to talk to you today about the importance of making temptation as clear as humanly possible, so that the next time that comes about in our lives and we're enticed, we're encouraged to do something that's not right, we're going to be able to stand the test we're going to be able to stand up and say, no, I don't want to do that. I'm watching and I'm praying that I am not led into temptation. That it doesn't overwhelm or overcome my life so that it forbids me from going to heaven when this life is over. Notice that verse. He said, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. And he gave us the reason behind it. And all of you can attest to this one thing. He said, for the Spirit indeed is willing. You've got good intent. Nobody in the world goes out here anticipating to do wrong. You don't want to do wrong. You don't have the intent to do wrong. But you'll notice what he says here, Charles. This is important. He said, the Spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh, and that's what I want to talk to you about, the flesh. That's the human side of us, y'all. Now, I'm just an old country boy that don't know a whole lot. But I tell you what I do know. I know that our flesh is weak. I know that the human side of us can be enticed. And I know that the human side of us can make the wrong decision. And I know that the human side of us, we can fall short of the glory of God. And we can sin. That's what we all are. We're human beings. Well, we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There's not a person walking on the face of the earth today that's above and beyond that of the weakness of the flesh. Oh, no. Don't matter if it's the greatest preacher you've ever heard. Don't matter if it's the number one elder that you've ever thought about, or the deacon, or the mama, or the daddy. You see, the weakness of the flesh is with us all. And so it's so important for us to understand the thought that's behind this. He said, listen, you watch. Be very careful. Don't put yourself in a situation that might cause it to become easier. Now listen to me, young people. This is important. Because when you're out in the real world, you're going to have what's commonly referred to as peer pressure. You're going to have those around you that's going to try to entice you, to move you into the wrong direction, to do those things that are not pleasing in the sight of God. I preached a young man's funeral not too long ago. He was but only 16 years old. He was the only child of his mom and his daddy. He was in an automobile accident. Lost his life. He burned to death in the car. It was discovered that there was alcohol involved in his life. Just 16 years old. Never had his parents ever thought in a million years that he would embark on the pathway of allowing alcohol to be in his life. Oh, but he left the place that he was at. He didn't make it home. His name was Matthew, the same as my son. And as I stood over that young man, proclaimed to those people, I began to think about the encouragement that he had been given from all of his friends to allow that poison to come into his body, to fray his little clean mind, and eventually cost him his life. And I thought, God, why in the world couldn't he have watched enough? Why couldn't he have ever been strong enough to said, listen, I don't want this in my life. I don't want it in my body. I don't want it to mess with me. I don't know why. But this is what I do know. We all have the weakness of the flesh. We can all be enticed to do evil. We can all be encouraged sometimes by others around us that don't have our best interest at heart. Can you think about those that call themselves his friend? What they must have thought about as they went there and as they carried his little body out of that church that day? What if we'd never done that? We'd still be here today. You see, this is important for us, y'all, as human beings, to understand the temptation. How to make it clear that if it's there and if it's enticing us to do evil, the spirit indeed is willing, but never forget that the flesh sometimes is weak. And sometimes we have to allow that spirit, that willing intent not to do it, to override the weakness of the flesh so that we can continue on. Point number two. As we think about temptation, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and at verse 13, this is important, y'all. I learned this from a little boy. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. Let me tell you about the common temptations. And some of us who are older, we can remember when. Can't we remember when, y'all? Some of us who are older. And some of you who are young, the when is still with you. That's wonderful. Your window's still open. Enjoy life. Smile and have that warm heart and enjoy every day that God gives you. But don't forget what I'm about to tell you. He said, there is no temptation that's taken you but such as common to man. Sometimes we forget that mom and daddy knows too. And grandma and grandpa, why, they know too. And sometimes even great-grandma and great-grandpa, they know too. They were once young. They understand that. Oh, they may not talk about it. They may not ever mention it to you. But let me tell you something. They understand it. For you see, no temptation that's ever taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, he said, who will not suffer you to be tempted. Listen carefully. Who will not suffer you to be tempted above that that you're able? Because there's always a way out, y'all. There's always the ability to say no. And you know, this is important. I tried to motivate the young people there at the Lord's church where I speak at to tell them, listen to me, there's nothing wrong with saying no. It's not maybe the most popular thing among those that are around you to say no, but I tell you what it is. If it's the enticement to do wrong, it'll sure benefit you a whole lot more than saying yes. And so the Bible's going to teach us here, he said, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape. There's always a way out. You know, people have for many years, my grandpa taught me better than this, but this is for many years people have gotten this idea. Well, God will not let you be tempted above that that you're able to stand. And you know, they've got the wrong idea about that. They think that the temptation you're talking about is he won't put a burden on you so heavy that you can't bear it. But no. We're talking about temptation. This is the clarity of that very verse of Scripture. We're talking about the escape method. We're talking about the ability to say no. We're not talking about the burden or the tragedy of something that occurs to us and us not being able to take that or to endure that. We're not talking about that, y'all. We're talking about the ability to say no. Now listen as I read it to you and see if you don't agree with that. The Bible said, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation, also make a way to escape. Here it is, y'all. This is the way out. He's not going to put you in a situation there. He's not going to allow the old tempter, which is Satan himself. I'll cover that with you in just a minute. It's not God, for God tempteth no man. And so it's not God that puts that out there. It's the old tempter himself. It's the old devil. And whenever the devil tempts you, God will make a way for you to escape. That's what that verse is talking about. And so he said, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. Now here's the deal. It may cause you some real problems from others who are looking from the outside on the inside. When you say no to something that they really wanted you to be involved in, and you said no. Now, they may not like you for a while, but I tell you, somebody that will like you, you'll like yourself, and God will love you for it, and mom and daddy will love you for it, and brothers and sisters will love you for it. You see, when there's the avenue of escape, when you're not allowed to be tempted above that that you're able to say no to, that's what he's talking about. I tried to convey that to my son, and I've tried my best to do so. And so far, so good. And I said, son, you may not be the most popular by saying no and not being involved. But I went out one day, some of his friends came up, and They came to the house. We got the local hangout there, you know. They like to come to my house, and that's okay. But they'll say, Mr. G, he won't tolerate that. That's what they call me. A couple of guys came one night, and I have a strong, strong will about certain things. One of the young men got out, and I could smell when he got out of the truck that he had alcohol on him. And so I went out and told him, I said, look, Zach, I said, you're going to have to get in your truck, son, and you're going to have to go back down the driveway and out the driveway. When you get to a point where you don't let that stuff get in your body and you don't willfully do that, then you come on back to the house. You're more than welcome. But until you do, don't come back. And Matthew said, Daddy, I can't believe you'd do that. And then the next day he said, Daddy, I believe you did it, and I believe you'll continue to do it. Because I did a little preaching that night to some of those young men. And the idea behind it is, I had stood over one of their friends that had lost his life because of it. And you see, this is what I'm talking to you about. There's no temptation above that that you're able. There's no way that God's going to allow the tempter to tempt you that he's not going to give you a way out. You can say no to it. About 2 weeks after that, I need to finish the story. Zach came back and apologized to me, and he said, Mr. G, he said, man, I appreciate you telling me that. And he said, I'm going to do better. I said, as long as you do that, you're okay. You come here anytime you want to. You can have a key to the house if you want it. You just need to do the right thing. Number three, let's look at this business here of allowing the feeling of our infirmities to be known. In Hebrews 4 and verse 15, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with our feeling of our infirmities. Now I want you to understand this. There's nothing that Jesus don't know about temptation. You know, he was a young fellow one time. He was even a teenager one time. He was even a young man one time. And as far as we know, he lived approximately somewhere in the lower 30s before he was executed and crucified on the cross. But I'll tell you what he did while he was here on earth. He went around doing the will of his Father. And in that, do you know what he came in contact with? Why, he came in contact with every temptation known to man. He understood it. He understood what we go through. And there's a lot of people out there that'll tell you firsthand, well, you just don't know what I've been through. I may not, but I tell you somebody that does. The Lord Jesus knows. And I tell you what he does know about the temptation. He knows how to say no to it. Because you see, the Bible said there he was in all points tempted like as we were. Guess what it was? Yet without sin. He was able to say no. Wonder how many of us are able to do that. You see, Jesus is a supreme example of all mankind. And Jesus knows how to say no. And I tell you something else. The next time you get to feeling like nobody knows how you feel, I want you to put Jesus in your mind and in your heart. Give yourself an opportunity to know what he did and how he felt. Did he know what it was like not to be liked? Oh, Lord. Jesus said, don't worry if they hate you, for they hated me first. You see, Jesus knows what it's like not to be liked. Does he know what it's like to be unpopular? While Jesus was an individual as a young man, very, very unpopular with those around him. You know why? They sought to kill him. They sought to take his life. For what? He never did anything wrong. Because they just didn't like him. Did he know what it was like to be tempted with that of the temptation of the flesh? Why, sure he did. He was a teenager. You'll remember those years, some of you, and some of you know what they are now because you still are. Jesus knew what it was like to be a teenager. He understood those things. Said one time in a lesson, and a fella got on to me big time about it. Jesus even knew what it was like to have the hormones racing in his body. For you see, he grew from a young man into a teenager, from a teenager into a young adolescent, from that into a young adult. He understood those things too. He understood every single thing that happens to us in our lives. from young to where he was when he was crucified. You see, that verse of scripture, doesn't it make good sense to you? Allow the feeling of our infirmities to be known. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Jesus knows about us. He said, but was in all points tempted like as we were, yet without sin. Now, he was able to say no. Sometimes we're not. But I tell you what, let's use him as the example that he is. And let's say that Jesus gave us the example to use when the next time we're tempted just to say no to. You know, it used to be that kids, and I was asked this question not too long ago, said, you know, Gary, did you ever have any opposition to those things that people did whenever they had those little bracelets on their arm? And they'd say, what would Jesus do? I said, no, not at all. I didn't encourage them or discourage them, but I'll tell you what, there's nothing wrong in this world with bringing up the thought, what would Jesus do in this situation? There's nothing wrong with that, y'all. When something happens to us and we don't know which way to travel, there's nothing wrong with saying, what would Jesus do in this situation? And then do as he would do. You'll always come out right. And you'll always come out on the winning side. Well, I got to carry on here with you. In James 1 and verse 13, we need to know who the tempter is and understand him. Listen to what the Bible said here. Let no man say when he is tempted that I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, and neither tempteth he any man. So God's not going to try you in that aspect. Now, I had one of the worst arguments I've ever had in my life with a fellow one time on this very thought. He said, God's going to try you. Why, he's going to put those temptations out there for you. And no, he's not. And why wouldn't he? Because he said he wouldn't. He simply said, for God tempteth no man. For God is not tempted of that of evil. This is Bible now. You can read it for yourself here in James 1:13. He says, when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. No, no. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But listen to what he said. In Ephesians 4, verse 27. He said, neither give place to the devil. Neither give place to the devil. What place does the devil have? Well, the devil has a place in all of our lives. Somebody said, oh, wait a minute, I can't believe you'd say that, preacher. Oh, he does. Well, you see, he walketh about as a roaring mighty lion, seeking whom he may devour. He's looking for every avenue that he can find to get into your life, to present you with a temptation that's going to overwhelm you. It's going to overcome you. That's what he's looking for. This is what he said. This is straight Bible. Neither give place to the devil. James 4:7 said, resist the devil. Resist the devil. And he'll flee from you. You know what that means? Next time he comes your way, if you just say no, you know what he'll do? He'll leave you alone. Because he got somebody else out there that he's going after. Because you're too hard to get. He don't want you anymore. You're too hard to get. You see, temptation needs to be made as clear as humanly possible. I need to be able to benefit our young people in the teaching of the clarity of temptation, and to be able to benefit all of us as adults in the clarity of temptation. And here's where it's at. God doesn't put those temptations there for you, but the devil does. And whenever it is that we are tempted, we can use the Lord Jesus as our example of saying, no, I don't want it. And here's the ideology behind it. To resist the devil. To get rid of him. That's the only way he's going to leave you alone. Let me tell you something. When he gets hold to you, it's hard to shake him loose. And I'm serious with you. It's hard to knock him loose. We're going to have to draw nigh to God. In order to draw nigh to God, we're going to have to get close to God and understand God. And do those things that's pleasing in the sight of God. And whenever we're doing those things that's pleasing in the sight of God, you know who we're displeasing? Well, we're displeasing the old tempter. We're displeasing the old devil. He don't want us no more. Time to leave us alone. Time to go on to the next one. And maybe they'll be strong as we are. Now, let's look a little closer to something else. In 2 Peter chapter 2 and at verse 9, we must trust God's help. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation. That's what Scripture says, and to reserve the unjust to the day of judgment to be punished. So what does the Lord know? He knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation. We got to trust His help. I prayed so hard. My old ragged Bible's laying there on the front bench, right in the front cover of that old ragged Bible. When you open it up, is a picture of my brother and my daddy. My brother was killed in an automobile accident. He died drunk. I worked as hard as I've ever worked in my entire life. Stopped that boy from drinking. I wasn't able to do it. Oh yeah, I preached his funeral. And I know he stands before God. But here's what I want to tell you. Every time I open that Bible, I see his face. I don't want to ever forget it. Because the importance of his soul to me needs to be the importance of every soul that I come in contact with when it comes to teaching somebody about temptation. Alcohol had him, and it took him down, and it cost him his life. There are a lot of other things out there that cost people their lives. There are a lot of other things out there besides alcohol that cost people their lives. But let me tell you the story of what he said about this. He said, you're going to have to learn to trust God. And I kept telling that boy over and over again, turn it over to God. And pray with all your being, as I'm praying with all my being, that God will help you through this. And he said, brother, nobody can stop me from doing this. You see, he didn't trust God the way he should. We need to trust God in the way that we ought to. And in trusting God, listen to what he said. He said, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly, he said, out of temptation, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. That's what the Lord knows how to do. You don't think that he can do that? Yes, he can. He can overwhelm and overcome and take away any and all temptation if we watch and if we pray. And we commit ourselves. He can do that. She's exactly right to agree with that, because the Lord can take it away. He has that ability. He has that power. And we have to put our confidence and our trust in the Lord Himself to have that ability to do so. You know, somebody said one time, it's easier to get up there and preach about these things than to say, let me tell you something. I've been on both sides of the track. How I met my wife was that I got in trouble and my mama made me go to church the next day. Now that's how I met her. 41 years ago. 44 meeting her. 41 marrying her. I've been on both sides of the track. I know what it's like. But I tell you what I do. I trust in God to know that He can take away any and all temptation that will ever come before you. Let me give you another thought real quick, because our time's getting away. In 2 Peter 3:17, we are forewarned in the Bible. We are forewarned. He said, ye therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things beforehand, you know these things ahead of time. We're forewarned with this thing. Listen to what he said. Beware, he said, beware, lest you also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. Is anybody above it? No. No. Is anybody to the point where they think that they're above it? No. They may think, but he said, take heed lest you fall. The ideology behind that is we're forewarned. We're forewarned that we're going to have to beware. We're forewarned that we're going to have to be looking out and watching for every aspect of temptation in our lives that will come our way and will destroy our integrity with the Lord and take us away from the opportunity to go to heaven. Some people get a second chance in life. Some people don't. Some people get the opportunity to right their wrong, and others don't. The little boy, he didn't get a second time. I was told by one of his very dear friends, he said, as far as I know, that's the first time that Matthew ever drank any alcohol. He said, I've been with him since we was 10 years old. He said, I think that's the first time he ever did it. But it was the last time he ever did it. They never got a second chance. You see, the thinking is we're forewarned. The Bible says, you beware lest also you being led away with the error of the wicked. Beware of this, he said, that you not fall from your own steadfastness. 1 John 2:16. And I'm going to close out here in just a moment. But bear with me because these things are of vital importance to the story. What is the origin of temptation? What in the world caused it to come about anyway? I tell you what it was. You'll remember that God had made the man. From the dust of the earth, he made the man. It wasn't long till God looked upon the man and he said, hey, wait a minute. It's not good for man to be alone. And so he would cause that great sleep to fall upon old Adam. And from him he would take a rib and he would fashion the greatest creation of all mankind. The ability to carry on when he would make the woman from the man. And he would take that woman and he would put her with that man and now he's got it complete. And in that blessed Garden of Eden, everything that's there is, why, it's all good. Aside from one thing. He said, there's a tree over here. And in the day that you eat of that tree, you shall surely die. Now everything else in this garden, have at it. You got it. But in the day that you eat of that tree, you shall surely die. Let me tell you a little bit about what happened. Along comes the old serpent. You remember the story about the tempter. He begins to talk to that woman. Well, what did God tell you? She begins to talk to the devil and tell him what God said. The devil said, oh, no, no, no. I don't care what God told you. This is what I'm going to tell you. In the day you eat of that tree, you'll become as God. You'll know good and you'll know evil. And in the day that you eat of that tree, you'll be like him. You know the rest of the story. She ate of the tree. She carried it back, gave it to her husband. He ate of that forbidden fruit. The choice was theirs. The choice was that you don't do that, but you see the motivation, you see the enticement to do the wrong thing, and you see the fallout of that. Did you know that as a result of them eating of that tree, the very most precious being on this earth today, the little babies that we know, because of their eating of that fruit, someday they will die. Someday my own son will draw his last breath because they ate of that tree. Now you tell me that temptation is not a big subject. You see, because they were tempted and they gave in to it, as a result of that, these little babies that you have that you love so much, they will die someday. You tell me that's not a big subject. Then you learn from it. And you learn how that the Bible said, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, it's not of the Father, but it is of this world. We must battle against temptation, and we must be victorious. And the only way we're going to ever do that, y'all, is to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ to become a child of God and live as best we can, not to be enticed and overwhelmed with temptation. And when that occurs, pray God that He gives you a second chance. Pray God that He gives you the opportunity to have your sins forgiven. If you're here today and you're not a Christian, there is no better time right now than today to become a Christian. The Bible said faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Romans 10:17. You've heard as best as I know how, which I'm not much. But I've tried to teach you the Word of God today about temptation. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen in Hebrews 11. And our faith is in the Lord Jesus because we've not seen Him, but we know He's there. And it's through the preaching of the Word of God that we obtain faith. And except you believe that I am He, He said, you shall die in your sin. John 8:24. We believe Jesus to be the Son of the living God. And I'll tell you, nay, He said, except you repent, you shall likewise perish. Luke 13:3-5. We don't want to perish. We want to repent. You know what repentance is? Simply saying, hey, I'm sorry for the things behind me. I'm sorry for the things I've done. And God, forgive me of those things as I repent. And as I turn from those things and I turn to the right and not to the wrong. Then there's a little matter of confession. People said, Lord, have mercy. I'm not going to get up there and tell them people what all I've done. That's not what He's talking about at all. He's talking about the confession of Christ with your mouth. Of saying that you know who He is. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Except you confess me before men, Jesus said, I'll not be able to confess you before my Father, which is in heaven, Matthew 10:32. It's with the mouth that we confess Christ. Yes, the preacher says, do you believe with all of your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Yes, sir, I do, and you have. You've confessed that you know Him. When Jesus stands before God the Father along with you, Father, I know this person. They knew me before man, confessed me with their own mouth, and now, Father, I'm asking you for them. Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And you know, the most ironic thing about this little thought is, 1 Peter 3:21. God told an old man named Noah, said, Noah, man's thoughts is on the evil continually. Well, I'm going to destroy him from the face of the earth. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. The Lord said, Noah, you go build the ark. Go build this boat. He could have very easily said, no, God. Well, that task is too big for me. And beside that, Lord, it's never rained. And what are you talking about, Lord? But you see, that wasn't Noah. For 120 years, the old man worked. And he worked, and he worked. And he built an ark. Because God told him to. And you know what the old man did? He not only saved himself and his wife, but he saved his three boys. And he saved their wives. And he saved those animals. And you know why he did that? Because God told him to. Why would people argue with baptism? He said the like figure whereunto baptism. What like figure? Like Noah building the ark, he saved his family. The like figure whereunto baptism doth also now save us. He said it's not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but it's an answer of a good conscience toward God. You know what that good conscience is? God said to be baptized, and I did it. And I saved myself. That's what baptism is. It's for the remission of sins. You can't get rid of them no other way. You're going to have them washed away. Somebody said, preacher, don't you believe in the power of God to forgive sins? Oh, yes, I do. But I also believe what Jesus said when He said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandment. My commandment is, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Does that mean that I'll never have a problem again? No. But you see, in that watery grave of baptism, you come in contact with that blood of Jesus Christ. And that blood of Jesus Christ doth now cleanse us, the Bible said, from all sin. And there's not anything you can do today. My grandpa taught me better. Oh, what about the blaspheme of the Holy Spirit? Not in this life or the life after. Don't compromise the blood of Christ. Because when he shed his blood that day, he loved you enough and he did it. And the blood of Jesus Christ doth now cleanse us from all sin. If you want to curse God, curse him. But if you want forgiveness for that, you can get it through the blood of Christ. If you're here today and you're subject to the invitation in any way, won't you come right now while together we stand and sing?
To the day and